Hello and welcome to the Leadership Deep Dive show. I'm Margaret Katz-Cann, still trying to get that mouthful out, and I'm here today with my friend and partner, David Lantuli. Hey, David.
Hey, Margaret. Yeah, well,
Yeah.
it's kind of still new for us, the Leadership Deep Dive, and we kind of take a dip dive into non-conforming topics, which is what we're going to do today, I
True.
guess.
And today we're going to talk about the dive. Today's show is called After the Splat, like that horrible feeling of disappointment when it just feels like you splat right against a hard sidewalk.
Yeah.
And the inspiration, and I say that a little tongue in cheek for today's topic, came from David sharing about a really bitter a bitter moment that happened to him in the past week. Do you want to share? And I will say before we're talking about David's new book, and I will be interviewing David about the content and the parts of his book in a couple weeks. But today we're going to talk about David trying to get this book out of his computer and into the world.
Yeah, well, bitter is a good word. It definitely tasted bitter what happened. So, Margaret knows, and some of you may know, that I've published a number of collections of my essays over the years. I self-published them on Amazon, and I've gotten somewhat skillful at navigating the particles and particulars of formatting and getting it in the right, everything you need to do to get it available on Kindle. And I recently also mastered, I think that's a strong word. I've learned how to master. I've learned how
Ever there was a time for air quotes, that was it. Yeah.
Right. Dr. Evil is featured in the new book, so it's one of the chapters. I've learned how to format from like a Word document into paperback and hardcover, but I had never done the voiceover for any of my collections. I've always hired someone to do that, usually a Brit. And yeah, just the budget's tight right now, so I wanted to see if I could do this myself. And getting the audio files formatted properly for Audible is no easy feat. And Margaret knows this, and some of you may know this. I have a form of dyslexia that, among other things, makes it very, very challenging for me to read out loud from a script or a text. This is what Gavin Newsom has also shared with the world, that he also has this similar form of dyslexia. So I'm in good company in that regard. I don't have the hair, but I have the dyslexia.
You're almost the same person. I mean,
Okay, yeah.
yeah.
So I thought, well, there are a lot of good tools out there now, and I had noticed on Audible that there were some audiobooks that had been recorded using AI. And so I said, let me see if there's a tool out there that could take the text of the book and give a lifelike voice to it. And I did find a tool, and that's a whole nother story, but I had to shorten each chapter to under 5,000 characters. So I had to reformat each chapter, which, should you guys choose to get the print book, you'll get the full version. This is the audio versions are more condensed, and it's more like a narrative script. So I did all that work, and then I went
Which
through
took,
and
I don't know, more than 10 minutes, right?
oh, that, yeah. This, we're talking hours and hours and hours of work, folks. Like, I don't even want to, that was part of the frustration of what I'm going to share is once I, and so I got each chapter formatted, right length, right tone, fed it into the AI engine, got a really good voice, uploaded each, you know, had to trim those files, had to get the right audio levels to get them to comply with the Audible standards, and then uploaded them. And every upload went just fine. You know, you upload chapter by chapter. So there are 52 chapters in that book, and one for every week of the year, should you choose to read it that way or listen to it that way. That's the way I wrote it. And then you have to submit it for approval. So you have to create the cover art, which I did. And I, again, have some skill at doing this now. And you submit all the audio files. And then they tell you, well, we'll get back to you in 10 days. Well, they got back in about 5 days, and every file was rejected after all that work for having been recorded using an AI voiceover tool. Now, don't ask me why they're allowing some authors to use AI tools and other authors not. This is not, I can't answer this question. And there's no fighting the Borg, also known as Amazon, right?
Yeah, right.
So that hit me like that was literally like fell on my chest like a ton of bricks. I was just wiped out from that. I couldn't believe it. All that work, it seemingly had, you know, gone to waste. So that's the backstory.
Yeah, there's the splat.
There's the splat.
Yeah. And we just wanted to talk about, disappointment in all its textures is really hard for humans to be with. Right? Yeah. We will do a lot in our lives to avoid disappointing ourselves and others. It's a tough emotion to sit with.
It right? is.
And you and were sharing with me, David, like the spin that started to follow for you, like the old way that you used to do disappointment, that you started down that road.
Right. Well, as in many events in our lives, circumstances that don't unfold as we would like them to. I would have liked this to have been accepted after all that work. There's probably like 40 or 80 hours of work involved with that. I don't know. I wasn't keeping track. I was just plowing through it. Literally, like it was like plowing. Like I'm like the horse being whipped, pulling the plow.
One row after another.
Yeah, one row after another, one chapter after another. There was certainly frustration and a little bit of self-recrimination or inner critic, like, oh, you know, I should have known better, or I should have checked the fine print more carefully. And also disappointment, which has its own sort of deflating feeling.
Yeah. So what did you do to break that cycle?
Well, since we're both trained in a coaching methodology called positive intelligence, I do a lot of self-coaching, as most coaches do, and pretty quickly I was in the soup of these afflictive emotions, I was like, okay, there's some gift or opportunity here. So that would be what we call like the sage perspective. It's like a wise way of looking at a circumstance, that there will be some gift or opportunity. And this is where I feel, unlike mastering the particles of Amazon publishing, I think I've gotten more masterful at recovering more quickly from disappointment using this sage perspective of, I immediately started looking for the gifts and or opportunities that were going to come from this circumstance, this failure. Actually, it was a complete failure. The project, as I had envisioned it, was a complete failure.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt about it, right? My goal was to produce an audiobook, and it was a complete splat flop.
As you're talking about, you know, what happens to you with disappointment, I'm realizing that my patterns are a little bit different. That, you know, that I would do a lot to avoid disappointment, like upstream, and that's probably a different podcast. But when I would have a failure like that, my go-to place would be like, there's other fish in the sea. You know, I would start to step over my own feelings. You know, I'm going to find another way to do this. Like, I just would never give myself permission to just sometimes before I am capable of looking for the gifts, I have to just let myself sit with the full impact of like how badly something sucks.
And right.
That like last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't know, I was talking with my son. Well, he was texting on a family chain and he has applied to law school and the responses are trickling in and he got a particularly bitter no, a rejection from someplace that was, you know, someplace he had very much imagined getting accepted to. And he was doing that like, oh, I'm sure I'll get in, you know, and I'll da da da. And I was like, I had to call him and say, oh, I recognize, like, I know what you're doing here because it's exactly what I do. And he agreed to go outside for a half hour and walk and put on angry or sad music on his headphones and just let himself feel the sting. And so to me, that's a really important first step for me. It sounds like you kind of handle it differently. And that's the point.
No.
Can do a different thing.
I think I did allow myself to. So this is just a question of how long you allow yourself to, we said in the last podcast, you know, the last episode, we said, you know, take your hand off the hot stove. In this case, you know, how long are you going to let yourself stew in the pot of disappointment, sadness, grief? Actually, there's quite a bit of grief. There's definitely a loss of all that time I could have been doing other things that I enjoy more. This is not enjoyable for me, actually.
And you were attached to how this was going to work out. And you like the voice that you chose. And so there's grief. I love that you're naming that because there really is grief. Like when suddenly this path that you think you're on, you know, like a landslide comes down in front of you and the path is finished. No more. No getting there on this path.
And you were literally like 99% of the way to the summit and you got hit with the avalanche or the landslide. Like literally that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was like after all that effort.
Your toes got frostbite and you were hungry and your thighs were burning and you still couldn't get to the top.
I don't even like climbing these kinds of mountains. That is to say, you know, figuring out all of the technical, some people love this kind of work, right? And
it's never been your cup of tea.
Not. I can figure stuff out. You know, I have a certain amount of persistence when it comes to these things. It's just not what I'm here on the face of the earth to do right now, in terms of joy. Yeah. So there's that too, right? You're like, okay, I labored at this project, this mountain for hours and hours and hours doing types of work that don't give me a lot of satisfaction or joy. And with the expectation that it would be well worth it once the audio book was available and then whammo. So I think you got to let yourself feel I did allow myself to feel the soup of the various, like the frustration, the anger at myself, or, you know, criticism, the sadness, the grief, I don't know what else was in there. And at the same time, with our training, I was able to sort of, while I was going through all that, kind of know in the back of my mind that there would be something that would come out of this. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a way where when we give ourselves permission to feel the, you know, the sting of it. And then, I don't know, then we sort of make this choice to be open, like something different is going to happen here just because it is. But like, there's something about making that choice to, okay, I don't know how I'm going to salvage this. I don't know what law school I'm going to get into. I don't know. Right. Like, but we just, we open to, right, to whatever it's going to be. And it sounds like you did that too.
Yeah. So I think you can grieve a loss. I think that might be a fair way of framing this, albeit not a loss of a loved one, but a loss of work and time and effort that was in service of something greater that seemed to have been a complete waste of time.
Yeah. And the loss of having this thing crossed off your list, which you were really looking forward to.
I was looking forward to being done. Like, that is so true. Yeah. I think we had prematurely celebrated. Well, I think last week, you know, when we spoke, I was like, it's done. I submitted it. And I was like, so relieved. And then, so that's also, I mean, I had all of that very positive energy and relief of having sort of got this off my plate and with an expectation that it would be over soon.
The universe had other plans.
The universe had other plans.
And Audible had other plans, apparently.
So as I'm kind of stewing in all of this, I let my wife know, and we were sitting in bed that night, and for whatever reason, we never do this. It was the first and only time we've ever done this. I picked up the book and I started to read one of the chapters to her to reinforce that my dyslexia is not going to allow me to read this book. It was just not going to be an option, and you know. And so she's listening very patiently to all my mistakes and my backtracks and my mispronunciations and my all that, right? But didn't criticize me like the teachers in second grade did, and she's a second grade teacher, so that was very nice. And then, you know, I handed the book over to her because this book is based on movie quotes and movie scenes and what we can learn from them. And Lillian and I share an affection for movies. And I said, oh, this one, I think it was My Cousin Vinny, you know? So I said, oh, this is one of your favorites here. Why don't you read it? And so, you know, she starts to read the chapter and it's like a melody. It's like a maestro playing a melody. It's like
how she calms the second graders down, David.
I know. Like, she's been reading out. She's been reading out loud to kids for, I don't know, 20, 25 years, whatever the number is. And she has this ability, as Margaret does, of while she's reading out loud, her brain and her eyes can scan ahead at what's coming, which I can't do this at all. And see the punctuation and get a sense of where this sentence is going and change the tone, change the emotion accordingly.
Yes. And I was saying to David, I was today years old when I learned that not everybody's brain could do that. So thank you for that perspective today.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then it hit me like, oh,
here's your sweetie. Answer.
I was like, sweetie, would you be willing to narrate the book? And she had to think about it because that's my wife is quite a bit of C in her disc style. So she likes to think about stuff before she commits.
Very smart.
Yeah.
She's a wise woman.
She's a wise woman, but she agreed to do it. And so now we've embarked on you know, her doing the audio voiceover pieces. I mean, the scripts were already written, so there was one of the gifts. I learned how to do all the processing of the audio file, so there was another gift. And the opportunity for Lillian and for me to cooperate on a project together was an opportunity. So several gifts and an opportunity came out of this, and I'm feeling much better about it. Would I have preferred that, you know, Audible and Amazon had accepted this and approved it the first time around? Yes. But am I grateful for the gifts and opportunities that came from this? Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story. And my son did get into law school a couple of days later. He's still waiting for some other applications, but there is kind of this, and it's not a guarantee, but often, you know, when we open, when we feel, and then we make a choice to open, you know, something handles itself, right? Yeah. You find a gift, you find an opportunity, something new does happen.
So how is he feeling about the disappointment and now the fact that he was accepted, and where is he with it now?
I think he's thrilled. I mean, no matter what else happens, he has one really solid choice. It's like a very good, not disruptive. It was a nice offer. Like, they offered him some scholarships. So everything, like, if nothing else happens, if he got only no's from here on out from the other places he applied to, I think he would be very content with this choice. So he was feeling great. And I think he said yes. You know, I challenged him to go outside. It was raining in New York City that day, and to walk around and to give himself permission to cry or to yell at the trees, because in New York City, nobody notices when you do stuff like that. And but just to give himself a chance to feel it. And that was his work, you know. Right. And then for all of us, though, it's like, to not get stuck there forever, you know, to make that choice to pull your hand off the stove. Like, okay, I've felt it. I'm good. Now I can start metabolizing.
Right. So your son also has had the benefit of being coached, if I recall correctly, not by you,
here you're not supposed to coach your children, but you know.
Right. But another, I mean, podcast. he actually, yeah, exactly. He went through the positive intelligence coaching program, and but sometimes it takes a mom or a spouse or a friend to remind you, okay,
some tools that maybe you forgot about, you know, they're in the closet. Let's pull them out. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I will say what has improved for me is being open to the possibility of gifts and opportunities, even while I'm processing the difficult emotions that go along with the failure.
Right. Knowing somehow, even though I can't see it yet,
right,
somehow this is going to be okay.
But it's not, it doesn't, again, we spoke about this on the last episode. It doesn't turn on a dime. Like, if you've had a serious disappointment or loss, you have to be with that. You have to allow yourself to be with that. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just skipping over it. And I think the satisfaction of the gifts and opportunities that do emerge will not feel the satisfaction. I'm just coming to realize this now, Margaret, that you won't feel the satisfaction of going through the hardship, whatever the hardship is, unless you sit with the grief of it and then you notice the gifts and opportunities. You will not be as satisfied.
Right. So there's really it's a multi-step process is what we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, we in our coactive coaching model, it reminds me that when we're working with clients and processing difficult emotions, that we were trained to actually take them down into it.
Right, to turn in, because they can't metabolize otherwise. You know, if you have a big disappointment and your go-to response, and I should really be using the first person here, because certainly, you know, if I step over the disappointment and I immediately start using words to try to make it okay again, like it just doesn't go well.
No, you know? No. And you haven't actually processed the disappointment.
Right, I haven't felt it. It just right. lives somewhere.
It's you know? Always going to live in there as disappointment. Yeah. Like now, I don't feel the tinge of that disappointment. I recall my feelings last week.
Right.
But it's not stuck. It's not stuck inside me. Like a lot of people would be like, oh, but if only I had those 40 hours back, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Right. The heat unattaches from the memory.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. When you let yourself feel it. So we will all look forward to Lillian's reading of Life Lessons from Memorable Movies, which is the title of David's new book. And we'll be talking a little bit more, jumping in a little bit more to the content in our next.
Yeah. Show. Yeah. In a few weeks, we'll talk about it. By then, I will say there's a little piece of me that is like worried that I have a little bit of worry like that these files will be accepted, but they are that one I will fight for because I will fight Amazon over it if they somehow reject these files because they will have been formatted to their exacting standards and read by my lovely wife. So, but I think that should pass muster. And if you want to get the book now and you're a reader and not a listener, it is available on Kindle and it is available in paperback and it is available in hardcover over on Amazon. Have at it and you'll be ready for our conversation in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Many movies that are beloved.
Many funny movies.
Yeah.
All right.
Great. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Thanks. See you soon.